Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do want to let you know today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thank you so much for your support. You can support the show at support.greatdetectives.net. Also, if you'd like to hear one program, we're going to do three specials during our listener support campaign. We'll be playing episodes of shows we haven't played, in which we're not going to play the whole series for a while. So if you'd like to hear something, email me, box13@greatdetectives.net, and I'd love to hear from you by February 8th. All right, well, it's time for us to continue on with the Sea Legs matter, parts 3 and 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar. You hear me? Johnny Dollar calling.
This is Pat McCracken, Universal Adjustment Bureau. What on
the... Hi, Patsy. Johnny Dollar.
Johnny, what kind of a noisy hookup is this anyway?
Pat, this call is being relayed to you from an amateur radio station.
Well, next time, try the telephone.
From Puerto Gardo, Nicaragua?
Oh, now you're coming in quite clearly. Port of what?
It's a little spot on the Caribbean coast, the last port of call for the Sea Legs before she was wrecked.
Mrs. Douglas Lanfear still with you?
No, and I don't know where she's gone, which is why I called.
So?
She acted just as surprised as I was that we both took the same plane down here. And, Pat, I still don't know why she decided to come here at all.
Maybe she doesn't like the idea of your going down there to investigate the case.
She wouldn't admit it, of course, but that's what I think.
You think she may try to obstruct your investigation?
Right now, I don't know, because she suddenly chartered a small plane and disappeared.
To work her way back here to the States?
Your guess is as good as mine. Look, why don't you hire a watch on her place on Long Island? And if she shows there, call me at the Hotel Providencia. It's in the city of Bluefield.
Nicaragua.
Right.
In any event, you think her claims for insurance on the Sea Legs and on Douglas Lanfear are fraudulent?
Pat, at this point, I don't know what to think.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location San Juan del Perro, Nicaragua, to the Universal Adjustment Bureau, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenditures and report of activities during my investigation of the Sea Legs matter. Pat, I lied to you during that radio contact a few minutes ago. I do think Connie Lanfear's claims for $400,000 insurance are fraudulent. Fraudulent as the very devil. But just why I think so is beyond me. At any rate, the assistant who's foisted himself on me down here is a real weirdie whose name, believe it or not, is Oscar Patrick Vladimir Pasquero. He rented a plane and has flown me here to Puerto Gardo, a half-baked little town on Nicaragua's east coast. Here is where a radio amateur made the last contact with the Sea Legs before it smashed up and sank off the Baldero Islands. And who is the operator of this ham station? Oscar Patrick Vladimir Pasquero.
Phew, such a long talker, Mr. Dollar. I'm cranking this generator until my arm is nearly dropping off.
Well, I'm sorry, Oscar, but that contact with the States was important.
Even my back is tired. I know. I'll make an expense account to you. Say, $10?
You try that, and I'll fly back to Bluefields without you.
Oh, please, Mr. Dollar, no joking, please.
Who's joking?
What, without me, you would be a lost soul in this vile country.
Hey, tell me something. Why did you ever set up a transmitter in this isolated fishing village?
I should set it up in Bluefields. They even wanted me to have some kind of license up there. Disgusting. And a waste of money, too.
Now, that reminds me. Do you have a pilot's license?
Who needs a pilot's license when those little planes practically fly themselves? Besides, a pilot's license costs money, too.
Well, I have one, so from here on in, I stay at the controls.
No confidence in me, no confidence in you.
Okay, okay. Now, let's get out to that flat where you parked the plane. I want to fly over the spot where the sea legs went down.
You see how invaluable I am?
Huh?
Without me, you wouldn't even know where to look for the Boldaro Islands.
You know darn well, all I have to do is look at the charts in the cockpit of the plane.
But, Mr. Dollar, that wouldn't be fair.
The Boldaros turned out to be only 6 or 8 miles offshore. Two narrow little rocky islands that poked up out of the sea to keep each other company in the vast, quiet blue expanse. One of them was perhaps a mile long, and the other, just a couple of hundred yards away and stretching parallel to it, was even smaller. Sure, to a man at the wheel who was unfamiliar with these waters and without charts, the Boldaros could conceivably be a menace to navigation. In the dark of the night, that is. Oscar.
Yes, sir?
Do you remember what time of day it was when the sea legs went down?
Of course, I remember anything. Names, dates, places.
Well, how about the sea legs?
Of course, I was talking to her by radio.
Well?
Such a lovely day, too, just like today. You know, Mr. Lancer even promised to take me fishing after we finished the radio contact testing.
What time?
He even promised me with... it was exactly 10:21 a.m. when the radio signal from the yacht suddenly cut off.
You're sure of that?
Yes, sir. We were talking away back and forth, and then, pip, nothing. 10:21.
One question, a couple of real good answers. A day like today meant it was clear and calm, and 10:21 a.m. meant full daylight. The Boldaros must have stuck out like a sore thumb. Hang on, Oscar. I'm going to make a tight circle over those islands for a closer look.
You sure you wouldn't like for me to steer, Mr. Dollar?
I'm sure.
But if you do all the work, how am I ever going to earn the handsome restrainer you're going to pay me?
Wait a minute.
Yes, sir?
That channel between the islands is as smooth as a mill pond.
Sure, it always is, except during a storm.
And so clear you can see way down into it. Oscar, I thought there were a lot of pinnacles of rock sticking up in that channel.
Oh, maybe at low tide, one or two on the east side, very shallow, otherwise like you see it now.
And what's supposed to make the channel so dangerous?
The current that runs through it when the tide is changing, Mr. Dollar, it's how you say, ideally. Like now, when the tide is coming in.
Enough to wreck a boat like the Sea Legs?
If the skipper wasn't watching the road. You should see how the current wobbles and squirms. Hey, look. There's a packing case down there floating around. You see? First one direction, then the other, shifting around like a crazy.
Yeah. Oscar, I think that packing case is going to be a big help to us.
Maybe there's something in it that might be worth money or something.
Oh, stop thinking of money.
Then how?
We're going to see just where the current delivers that packing case.
You want to know where that packing case will be ending up?
That's what I said.
Then steer back to Porto Gardo, to the beach in front of my superlative radio station.
Huh?
Sure. How else do you think I got all the lumber and furniture and stuff from my radio shack?
He was right. From the air, we could see that every bit of flotsam passing through the Boldaro Island channel on a rising tide wound up in the tiny cove on the shallow sandbar directly in front of Oscar's radio shack. Even now, it was piled high with crates, bits of ship's rigging, odd pieces of furniture. That junk stay down there forever, Oscar?
No, Mr. Dollar. Once a month, a real big high tide comes along, and presto, I have a clean front yard again. But I always make a trip up here before then.
What do you mean?
Sure, that's why I'm Nicaragua's #1 beach brusher.
Oh, stop being corny. What do you mean, beachcomber?
So I have to brush the sand off everything I pick up down there. So you didn't laugh. What do I care? Anyhow, you should see some of the valuable things I pick up to sell to the natives.
Well, tell me, 2 years ago, when the Landfair's other boat went down.
You should have seen it. Everything that could float ended right up in my front yard. It was beautiful.
How about when the Sea Legs was wrecked?
You know, that's very funny, Mr. Dollar. There was nothing. Nothing at all. I don't understand it.
Well, I think I do. I think I'm beginning to understand a lot of things about this case. Hang on, Oscar. We're flying back to Bluefield. Expense account item 12, 30 cents American, taxi from the private airport where we'd rented the plane to the headquarters of the Federal Maritime. I never will get that straight. Call it the Coast Guard and Captain Ramirez.
Si, senor. On July the... here it is. The date,
And at 10:21, Captain.
You see, the tide at 10:21 was just after what you call neap.
So it was neap, it was pretty. What does that mean?
Oh, shut up, Oscar. Yeah, I see, Captain. Neap tide at 9:40. So it's coming in, rising, huh?
You see, Senor Dollar, rising, right. Up.
Good, thanks, Captain. Here, buy yourself a cigar. Buy yourself a whole box.
Gracias, senor, gracias.
Come on, Oscar.
Sure, Mr. Dollar. Nothing for me?
Later. Come on, we're going back to the airfield. And from there, we're going to fly down the coast again.
But, Mr. Dollar...
And I feel so good, I may even let you fly that plane this time.
For a small pittance, even?
For a small pittance, even. Now, drag out your best dialect and call that taxi over here. Item 13, $6 for the Capitan. Item 14, 50 cents taxi back to the airfield. For some reason, the fare in the old Model T went up every time I used it. Or did Oscar wink some kind of a deal with a driver that he could cut in on later? Item 15, and another $45 for rental of the plane, and I'm sure it all went into Oscar's pocket, that his knowledge of the language enabled him to persuade the owner we shouldn't pay two rentals in one day. We headed south and made good time.
But where are we going? Another few minutes and you'll be down to Costa Rica.
What's that little seaport straight ahead?
San Juan del Perro.
And according to this map, it has a more than adequate landing field.
Look, do you see what I see down there on it?
Yeah, exactly what I hoped to see. The twin of this plane. The plane in which Mrs. Lanfear disappeared this morning. I'll land right beside it.
No sooner said than my name is Oscar Patrick Vladimir
Pastero. Don't these little fields have any personnel?
Ha! If they get two planes a month, they think it's a crowd. Yeah, but there must be somebody. There's a car back of the hangar.
Good. Then we'll have transportation into town.
You still haven't told me why you decided to come here. Was it because Mrs. Lanfear did?
That was something I didn't know until I saw that plane down there. All right, easy now. Don't land too close to it.
I am in perfect control. Here we go.
No, Oscar, it was a hunch, based on the fact I remembered that the Sea Legs was built in this town. Hey, nice landing.
Thank you, Mr. Dollar. Maybe a little extra bonus for such a good
job. If you don't stop talking about money, you're going to have to find yourself a... See, am I crazy? Isn't there someone in the cabin on that other plane?
Hey, the car, it's coming over to meet us.
Hey, watch it, Oscar. That darn fool is heading right across our landing pad.
Huh?
Gun the engine.
Is he crazy? Can't he see us?
Hey, swing high, but don't flip us. Come on, more throttle.
It's only there.
Then straighten out. Take off.
I can't. What'll I do?
Let me hit those controls and hang on.
Here he comes. He'll hit our gear.
Hang on. For a long moment, there was nothing but a vague blackness all about me, and the sound of our crack-up seemed to roll and echo almost dreamily back and forth in the deep recesses of my mind. Then, slowly, hazily, I seemed to hear some other sound. Yeah, like an engine far off. An engine of a plane starting up and lazily moving away. Sure, yeah, of course, I did hear it. It was the other plane, the one that had been parked on the landing strip. Then as my mind began to clear, I realized I'd seen something, someone else. I'd caught a glimpse before the car struck our landing gear of the man behind the wheel of it. A man whose picture I'd seen briefly at the home of Constant Lanfear. But it couldn't be.
Oh, Mr. Dollar. Am I still alive?
Yeah, Oscar. I'm afraid you are.
Thank you. But did you... Oh! Did you see who was driving that car?
Yeah. Oh. You recognize him?
Look, maybe they're both dead like he is. And that's why we saw him.
Douglas Lanfear?
Yes, sir. Mr. Douglas Lanfear.
Johnny Dollar.
Again, le llama de los Estados Unidos.
Huh?
Johnny?
Yes.
Pat McCracken, Universal Adjustment in Hartford.
Oh, hi, Pat.
Now listen, as you requested, I had a man sent out to Mrs. Lanfear's Long Island home to see if she'd return.
I suspicion wrong, Pat. She's still here, very much so.
Will you listen?
Shoot.
The man was a little overambitious. Let himself into the house through a basement window.
So?
While he was there, the telephone rang.
He wasn't crazy enough to answer it.
Crazy like a fox. It was long distance from right where you are now, San Juan del Perro. And, Johnny, I suspect it was from the man on whose policy she's made a claim for $250,000.
Her dear departed husband, Douglas Lanfair.
Right. Now, if so, her claim on him, at least, is fraudulent. So see if you can dig up some proof.
Brother, I have it. The man is anything but dead.
Huh?
It was Douglas Lanfair who wrecked our plane when we tried to land here a few hours ago.
Then, Johnny, get him.
Sure. If he doesn't get me first. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location San Juan del Perro, Nicaragua, to the Universal Adjustment Bureau, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an accounting of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Sea Legs matter. $250,000 insurance claimed by Mrs. Constant Lanfear for the death of Douglas Lanfear. An additional $150,000 for the loss of the yacht, the Sea Legs. Claim number one now proved to be fraudulent. As for number two, the claim on the yacht... Expense account item 14, $2 American, to the banana plantation worker who pulled us out of the small plane that Douglas Lanfear wrecked as we tried to land. And another dollar to said plantation worker for a ride into town in his ancient truck. I must admit that this is one time that my ubiquitous assistant, Oscar Patrick Vladimir Pasquero, came in handy through his knowledge of the Spanish-Indian dialect spoken in these parts. Apparently, San Juan del Perro had once been a fairly busy little seaport. But over a period of years, the sea had slowly, inexorably washed in shallow sandbars, and only a handful of small cargo and fishing boats now negotiated the narrow channels that led out to the Blue Caribbean. The town itself was scattered around a small marketplace near the docks. There were a few stone and brick buildings, including the San Andrea Hotel, but most of them were weather-beaten frame structures. An occasional aged American car kicked up the dust, but most of the street traffic was ox carts. Item 15, $2 American, to a doctor with an unpronounceable name who came to our room at the San Andrea and patched us up. And about 7 p.m. he left after instructing us to spend the rest of the night in bed. Item 16, another $2 for a sumptuous dinner brought to our room. American dollars, I learned, go far in this place. Unless, of course, Oscar gets his hands on them.
You should let me handle all the bills for you while you're here in Nicaragua, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, sure, and let you take a 50% commission on all of them, huh? No thanks.
Oh, but Mr. Dollar, I'm...
When the poor fellow who rented us that plane to get down here starts patching it up, my expense account is going to take a big enough beating.
Have no fear. I will supervise the repairs on the plane myself.
Yeah, for a small pittance.
Yeah, of course. What a wonderful dinner. Now, to sleep it off.
Well, you sleep all you want to. I got work to do.
Work? Yeah. Hey, besides, you still haven't told me why we flew down here in the first place. I still don't understand.
Listen, Oscar, a couple of years ago, Lanfear lost a power cruiser off the Baldero Islands.
I know. I told you I helped him and his wife and his captain get to shore.
He collected $85,000 for that boat from his insurance company.
I saw the boat. It was worth the $85,000. So he should have insured it for more, maybe $100,000. Made himself a profit. Really, a very poor businessman.
Will you listen? The ease of collecting on that loss must have given him ideas. What's more he could do with some money? The parental estate was running low. Anyhow, a few weeks ago, he brings a yacht, a motor sailor down here.
The Sea Legs.
Right. This one's insured for $150,000. And his own life is insured for $250,000.
Uh-huh. Maybe he's not such a bad businessman after all.
He takes the Sea Legs out to the very same place where he lost the first boat. This time, he leaves his wife ashore. He and the skipper go out alone, presumably to check on some new radio equipment he's installed.
Sure, we made the radio contact from my own personal sender onshore at Puerto Gardo.
But the contact was suddenly cut off.
I heard it.
And the next thing we know, Mrs. L is back at her home on Long Island claiming a total of $400,000.
Well, why not if she thought he went down with the boat?
Because I don't think she did. What's more, I'm going to prove...
Of course I knew it all the time. Because if he drowned off the Baldara Islands, what was he doing here today, driving the car that wrecked our plane? Unless he was dead. And do you know something, Mr. Dollar? I don't believe it.
Oscar, there was somebody in the cabin of that other plane waiting to take off with him after he smashed our landing gear.
You didn't see who?
No, but I'll give you odds it was Constant Lanfear. Another thing, she said that when the Sea Legs went down, she heard it go over the radio. You said that the signal just suddenly cut off.
Mr. Dollar... You don't think the yacht was wrecked at all?
Not any more than I think Lanfear went down with it.
Then where is it?
Well, I have a hunch. It's right here in San Juan del Perro.
Yes, but wouldn't everybody know the boat?
Oh, Oscar, one of the oldest insurance rackets in the world is to fake a shipwreck. Take the hull to some obscure foreign port, dress it up in new paint and rigging, then put it to sea again.
Now, why didn't I think of such a good...
Now, if I remember rightly, I spotted a couple of old shipyards down here when we circled the land.
Yeah, sure, but there's only one that does any work.
Do you know where it is?
Of course I do. You see how invaluable I am to you?
Then that's where we're going right now.
But, Mr. Dollar, what if you do find the boat?
What do you mean?
Mr. Lanfear has already flew the goose. He took off in that other plane after we cracked up.
Look, we'll take things as they come along. Right now, while we're here, I want to look for that yacht. I saw an excellent picture of it, and I'm sure if I find it, I can identify it.
And if we do find it?
We will have twice the case against the Lanfears.
Mr. Dollar, I am fortunate to be working for such a sterling, silver, 14-carat genius, for the most outstanding, intelligent, instigator...
Get your hands out of my pockets. There's one other thing I'd like to find. One person, unless Lanfear murdered him.
Who?
His one-man crew.
Oh, Ramon Gonzalez. The same man as on the first trip.
Well, if he was allowed to live through the first wreck, he was probably in cahoots with Lanfear and therefore is still around. Would you recognize him if you saw him?
Maybe so, maybe not. The first trip, he was big and fat. The second trip, he was skinnier. He wore a beard on his face. If he's changed again, yeah.
Oh, you're a lot of help. I thought you never forgot a name or a face.
But, Mr. Dollar, him I never made any money off of.
Well, come on, get into your clothes and let's prowl around the shipyard. It was only a few minutes after 8, but the town was practically asleep, except for an old saloon down near the docks. Quietly, so not to disturb the snoozing night clerk, we let ourselves out of the hotel and headed for the waterfront. The night was clear and moonlit, so we had no trouble finding the way. I glanced hopefully into the open door of the dockside saloon as we passed it, and I chuckled at the incongruity of the music blurring away. But, of course, saw no one that... Wait a minute, Husky.
Yes, sir?
At that table in there, drinking beer. Hey, can one of them be the Raymond Gonzalez you mentioned?
So who can tell from here? In San Juan del Perro, there must be 100 who are skinny and wear a dirty little beard on their face.
Could you tell from close-up?
Sure.
Would he recognize you?
So what?
Well, it might not be very healthy for you.
Ah, Mr. Dollar, working on an important campaign for you, my dearest friend, I would gladly lay down my life for you.
For a small pittance, of course.
Of course. Anyhow, how would he know I am working for you?
Okay then. Saunter in and take a look.
Okay.
I'll wait right here.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's a nice weather we're having, huh? Es buen día, no? Well, if it isn't my old pal Ramon Gonzalez. How are you, Ramon?
Extranjero.
Extranjero? Me? A stranger? Why, I'm one of your oldest and dearest friends. El mi amigo, remember?
Sálgate, extranjero.
Get out. But I am Oscar Patrick Vladimir Pesquero. You know, just a fine old Spanish name. Who helped you ashore that time when you... No. Put on that bottle.
Salga, lárgate de aquí, o si no te mato.
Oh, no.
Te mato.
Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, I don't think they liked you to interrupt their little beer party.
He threatened me that I might. He said he would kill me.
Is he Ramon Gonzalez?
Who? Yeah, yes, I'm sure of it. You see, Mr. Dollar, he did not go down with the ship.
You're telling me.
Well, aren't you going to do something about him?
Later, if I locate the sea legs. Cautiously, quietly, looking back over my shoulder now, we prowl through the old shipyard. And finally, led by the smell of fresh paint, I found it. The once clean white hull was painted a gaudy red and blue, and given the appearance of age, the mahogany rail and taffrail had been replaced with iron pipe. The beautiful teakwood deck painted a dirty gray. The wheelhouse had been moved, the cabin altered, even the mast, bowsprit, and general rigging changed. Stanchions, cleats, all the hardware that had once been polished bronze was now corroded or painted over. All in all, a quick, very thorough job of disguise, of change, from a graceful, expensive yacht to a rather weary-looking fishing schooner. But it was the sea legs, all right.
I would never believe it, Mr. Dollar. I never would have recognized it. Are you sure?
Wind your hand over the transmitter.
Hmm?
You can feel where the lettering has been painted over.
It'll strike a match. I can see.
Better not. Somebody... It's too late now. Do you see where the outline of the lettering is underneath this last coat of paint?
Sea Lakes. But it was such a beautiful boat. And now it looks like a dirty old tramp. Well, what do we do now?
Go back to that saloon and latch onto Ramon Gonzalez. Make him talk.
Sure. Only, I'll wait for you.
Huh?
Well, he's so big and strong, Mr. Dollar, and that knife in his belt.
Why, I thought you said you'd lay down your life.
Sure. But what could he tell you that you don't already know now?
Where the Lanfairs headed when they took off in that plane. Come on.
But I... Okay, you lead.
Alto, senor.
Mr. Dollar, it's him.
You light a match to show me the way. Gracias.
I was afraid of that.
Look, the knife in his hand.
Oscar, if he makes one move to throw it, pull the trigger.
Trigger? What trigger?
Am I good?
No, I swear.
But I have a couple of fists. Well, let's bring him in. Bring him to so I can question him.
No. Let's get out of here. Please, Mr. Dollar. He may have a friend around.
Right, Oscar, he has. And this one carries a gun aimed straight at Mr. Dollar's back.
Well, Mrs. Lamphere.
Surprised, Johnny?
Now, here's our star to tell you about the final episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, sometimes when you wind up a case, things take a turn, a sudden switch that makes you wish you hadn't won. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote this week's story. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, folks, till about 9 or 10 years ago, that was about all the Sea Legs matter that there was. Listeners to the original series heard the conclusion to the Sea Legs matter, and who knows, it may have been replayed a little later on Armed Forces Radio Services, but it was nearly 50 years until anyone actually heard the concluding episode again. It was the very last of the five-part serial to be completed, and we'll let you in on it on Friday. Overall, this has been a pretty good episode. The one thing I didn't like was the ending talking about a downside to victory, because at this point, I'd rather be in suspense about what'll happen to Johnny, even though logically I know he's going to win. But a what will happen sort of close would seem to make better sense. But Be that as it may, that'll actually do it for today. Join us on Friday for the conclusion of the Sea Legs matter, and we will also, of course, be starting Manhunt. Tomorrow, an episode of Nick Carter's coming up. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and one thing I've started to do is kind of live tweet as I am watching mystery movies with my impressions, just trying to figure out what else we can do on Twitter and having some fun with that. And also, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.